Good morning. This morning, first of all, I want to welcome all of you to our Sunday broadcast. The Sunday talk today will be about spiritual development and improvement. When a person enters this spiritual path, they almost immediately begin to talk about changes that they want to see happen in their life. It's so interesting. If you've been on this path for any amount of time, to reflect on those early days when you first discovered the teaching of the Aegis Wisdom, and how did that come about? How did that happen? Were you seeking something different in your life? Were you looking for a spiritual influence in your life beyond religion, but something spiritual? And I was thinking about my own life when I was sitting in the chair this morning thinking about the talk, and how I really had a beautiful life. I was a mom, I was a wife, I had two boys, I was a professional musician. It's like my life was full. But there was something missing. And that missing element is, I think, what drew the teaching to me and me to it. Because when I found that, had the dream and found the first book and the first teacher, it was just like this first blush of love when you find that special person. Well, this was that special teaching. And for about 2 years, I just could not get enough of it. I wanted to meet the people that had written the books and that were running groups and that were meeting. And we would go out for lunch and dinner and just talk the teaching. That's that first blush of love, you know, the first couple of years. And during that time, we talked about what we wanted to experience with the teaching. And of course, it was to have spiritual experiences. That was the number one. We didn't know what that was. but spiritual experiences. I think that recalling back during those days, what almost 90% of my friends and coworkers that were like myself, new in the teaching, so to speak, is it gave us a sense of purpose. That the teaching has a depth to it about life and direction, life direction, that we began to realize every individual person has a purpose in their life. And that's why we have so many seekers looking for spirituality, is in fact, whether they're aware of it or not, is they are looking for the purpose of life and the purpose of their life. So where their hope and yearning and so forth is really sincere, what is ultimately is required is change. It means that we're going to bring change into our life. It means when you are on a specific spiritual path, your life will adapt, and that adaptation will bring change. And that change will be a progressive, advancing, fulfilling change. Yet, and you know that was coming. Yet or however or but, there comes a time where we must determine how much time and energy we are going to give to this change, to help us advance, to make our family life, our group life, our national life, even our global life better, different, better, more advancing, more evolutionary, more exciting, more beautiful. We have to do something. We have to contribute, in other words, a specific amount of needed time and energy to bring about these changes from the microcosmic to the macrocosmic. So it's not just simply giving some of our time and energy, but the best time and best energy. This is what the teaching asks from us, to give the best time, our best time, and our best energy to bring about these changes. There are certain elements in the teaching of Agni Yoga that is given to us regarding making these changes. And, you know, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It takes years and years and lifetimes to bring about these changes. But the most beautiful element for me was how Agni Yoga gives us these elements to begin to work toward, to put our best time and our best energy into bringing about these changes. So I'm going to give you this list, and this is a short list from Agni Yoga, that we want to begin to bring in and experience and live the unity of all being. The unity of all being. The next is the law to understand and to assimilate, and then to practice the law of reincarnation, the law of karma, and to understand the interconnectedness of skandhas with karma and reincarnation. That's the second one. The third one is the law of cosmic right or magnetic attraction. The law of magnetic attraction is essentially the law of cosmic love. These are elements now that we are going to start bringing into the fabric, the very fabric of how we live our life day by day by day by day from the microscopic to the macroscopic, right? So you start gradually. There's another word that I love, the word gradient, that we get in on the shallow end of the pool before we go in and jump into the deep end. We have to learn how to swim. So the next is the synthesis. This is all from Agni Yoga. We want to develop the synthesis of astrology, the synthesis of astropsychology, astrochemistry. All of this is found in Agni Yoga, to study, to research, to understand, and to practice. The synthesis of astrology, astropsychology, astrochemistry, and astrophysics, which is in essence the study of cosmic and planetary rays. Again, this is found in Agni Yoga. The next, affirmation of infinite transformation and expansion of consciousness. Affirmation of infinite transformation and expansion of consciousness, reverence to the hierarchy of life, maintaining the state of inner calmness and non-irritability. It's a big one. But you see how this is already giving us direction? It's not retrogressive. It's progressive. It's advancing. It is beginning to have the gleaming of the purpose of life. Striving to the future. And the communion with the distant worlds. It is manifesting courage and fearlessness. It is living in a constant state of joy, appreciation, solemnity, and in so doing, know that joy is a special wisdom. It is proclaiming the beauty of the mother of the world. It is being a messenger. This is like the summation of all of these elements, being a messenger of light and living through the heart. So what does it mean to give our best time and energy towards spiritual development and improvement? Some people are so tired by the end of the day that they do not have the energy to study the books of the teaching, to educate themselves, or even to meditate. They indicate that where they had hoped to give more time to meditation, to reading, to studying, and so forth, situations at home or at work prevented them from doing so. I mean, just the reality of this. Talk to your coworkers. What's very interesting is to be with people who were in that space of time where we all had that first blush of love, you know, with the teaching. And now, 30 or 40 years later, what happened to that blush? See, what happened to that excitement, that enthusiasm, that sense of going out and conquering the world and changing your family environment and changing, in some cases, your profession, so that all of these changes created an alignment with those elements that I just read. Are we there 30 or 40 years later? There is a wonderful verse found in the book Heart. It's an Agni Yoga from the Agni Yoga series, verse 97. And this is what it says. After 2 weeks of apparently superficial striving, a man comes to the conclusion either that he is unfit or that the higher world does not exist. Whereas the very same man will tell his servant after a year, we have 2 weeks, and now a year, after a year of service, a year is too short. He says, I cannot yet give increase to your wages. It is difficult to speak to those who have not matured in heart, says the master, or who have succeeded in extinguishing it. It would seem that the fires of the heart are very natural and simple in manifestation, but long periods are needed in order that this understanding, which connects the lowest with the subtle world, may become evident in the physical world. Remember that last element I said was being a messenger of light and living through the heart. So the master is saying long periods are needed in order to manifest the light and to purify our nature, our heart nature, in such a way that we can finally link the lowest with the subtle world, allowing it to become evident in the physical world. He says there are very few who strive to become citizens of the universe. So here we have in this verse, we have a landlord, let's say, that had that first blush of the teaching, blush of love. And 2 weeks later, he walked away from that experience because everything that he had expected did not manifest in 2 weeks. Yet when his employee, after a year, said, "I'd like a raise," and he said, "No, a year is not enough time to give you a raise." See the difference? There are very few who strive to become citizens of the universe, says Master M. This title demands numerous cares, observation, vigilance, and primarily an indomitable striving. So here's more ideas for us to practice, understand, and then put into practice. Numerous care, observation, vigilance, and indomitable striving. So let me start with this, something that we can do, and it's called spiritual improvement and perfection. Spiritual improvement and perfection does not come overnight or in 2 weeks, nor is perfection reached in a year's time. Improvement and perfection are achieved in stages and not all at once. It's like, think of this, you know, when we were in school, we went through the lower grades, first grade, second grade, third grade. Sometimes kids were held back, right? Maybe we were one of those kids that were held back. Why were we held back? We weren't, for various reasons, we weren't studying. We may have had interferences at home. We may have had family problems, which deterred us from studying and improving ourselves. But to be on this path, striving is required. Even if we are set back by a year or two before we can advance to the next stage or the next grade. What happens, from my observation, is that people drop out. They quit. In some spiritual world, you would call a person like that being riddled with tamasic energy. Their rajasic energy, which is highly nervous, highly active. They flit from here to here to here to here. It's like the road runner. Remember the road runner? Zoop, you know, would go right by and go, "Hey, hi, okay." It's like that's rajasic. Typically, individuals who are really rajasic, highly nervous, moving, moving, moving all the time, inevitably default into becoming tamasic. Tamasic means they've lost their energy. They're depressed. They're no longer interested in striving. This is just the nature of the human being. So the balance, there's a balance in all of this. The balance is found by aligning ourselves to these elements of the teaching, and then gradually or gradiently take yourself from the first stage to the next, to the next, to the next. So patience. Patience is one of the keys to spiritual improvement. The verse also said, "Whereas the very same man will tell his servant after a year of service that a year is too short for him to give him a raise." This tells us that even an ordinary person, ordinary people, understand the importance of time. but in consideration of a higher spiritual energy, a higher spiritual demand, people do not to wish to know that the most essential point in spiritual development is not only patience, but also assimilation. Spiritual development and improvement requires assimilation. It's like on the Agni Yoga website, there is a compilation for beginning students. And in that, found in that compilation, it talks about or gives an answer to the question, how to study Agni Yoga. And in that process, it talks about taking one verse in the morning, reading it, studying it, thinking about it, and then try to take an element from that verse and live it throughout the day. This is the process of assimilating what you're reading. Then at night, take that same verse and read it again. And you will read it from a completely different point of view, because you're already gaining experience or assimilating the energy that you discover in that first verse. To assimilate, there are three important components to assimilate. To assimilate a teaching, we must clean out and destroy obstacles, which were ages in the building, obstacles which were built in our consciousness through the various lifetimes. If a person wants to be a holy one, to have power in the universe, or to bring divinity into manifestation from within themselves, that is wonderful. But the challenge is if you have also carried along through these various incarnations fear and jealousy and revenge and selfishness and vanity, all of these things must go. An important step to assimilating the teaching is to remove all of these accumulations from your mechanism, because if you don't, you are just building on the hindrances and obstacles to experience that pure purpose of your life and life itself. So the teaching, assimilating the teaching, is to remove all of those accumulations from your mechanism, physical, emotional, and mental mechanism, in order to assimilate the higher teaching. Room must be made. To make room means that we are going to have to find ways to remove the accumulations of these obstructions from our nature, working on ourselves. Obstructions, impediments, which have accumulated over several lifetimes. What I have found in my own life, that alignment to the elements that I just read at the beginning of the talk this morning is what provides the fire, the fuel, the enthusiasm to clean out the hindrances, clean out the obstacles, transform them. And this is the process of changing ourselves, transformation. It takes psychic energy to bring about these changes. And this is why when you read in Agni Yoga, you read the term psychic energy is a primary energy, and then gives you all different threads of this primary or psychic energy. These threads that stem from the primary energy is what gives us the fire to align with the dream, the vision of these elements that I read to you. So we can push through the challenges of purifying and transforming these obstacles and hindrances. Remember that there is a time when you weren't always striving to spiritually develop yourself, nor to improve. And especially during those lifetimes where you were more busy accumulating obstacles like vanity and ego and jealousy and so forth, fear. So reasonably, we cannot expect to ditch those things from our nature in 2 weeks. It's as simple as that. The second of the three aspects of assimilating energy and wisdom from the teaching is to take the teaching and break down the points and distribute them throughout your system of life. So this is what I'm doing today, talking about spiritual improvement and the path of spirituality, just taking the overall idea and breaking it down into parts so that we can practice and assimilate what it means to be spiritually developed. And the third aspect of assimilation is that we must find the true teaching. Because if we do not find the true teaching, we could be assimilating a retrogressive or toxic teaching. So that's part of the challenge, you know, is being drawn to the pure light, pure teaching. The most important part of assimilating the teaching is for development and improvement. To find out what is broken within you and to throw it out. Find out what is broken within you and to throw it out. Ask yourself what it is that you don't like in yourself. It's like, this is why we had the meditation this morning, you know, on looking at ourselves and changing our self-image. It is so very important, especially if you have a lot of vanity in you. If you are adoring your vanity, then there is no hope for you. If you are faithful, this is so interesting, if you are faithful to your vanity, it's like, who is faithful to their vanity? But we see evidence of people who are faithful to their vanity, disgustingly so. If you are faithful to your vanity, if you believe you must reinforce your ego, then the teaching is not for you. Even if you desire spiritual development, vanity and ego will make the person totally blinded. But if the person can see things within him or herself that they want to change, now is the time to do it. Just do it. It is a gift that you are giving to your unfolding human soul to improve yourself. So after a person undergoes these actions to change themselves and strive to create a new rhythm in their life, and that's a key phrase, to create a new rhythm in your life, you will slowly have room now for this great teaching. See, could remember back in the beginning of the talk, and I said that people that have this first blush of love and with the teaching, and they have this desire for deep spiritual experiences and to begin to have gleanings of the purpose of their life, but then life interferes, their job interferes, friends interfere, family squabbles and deterrence keep us from moving forward. So we have to strive to create a new rhythm. Make room, slowly, 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 make room in your life for this great and beautiful teaching. And when you do this gradually, gradiently, it will be distributed throughout your entire life, physical, emotional, mental life. A distribution which will occur because now you're ready to assimilate the changes. The goal of assimilation is to be a healthy human being, healthy physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And this is how you can live to be a healthy old age. To be healthy means to remove all contradictory activities from your body to make it harmonious and progressive. To remove all contradictory activities from your body. You must have an undertaking that is harmonious and progressive. But if it is not progressive, you can be, as the teaching says, a harmonious corpse. Interesting. Assimilation requires change. It requires cleansing. So what needs to be cleansed? Our minds need to be cleansed. Our character is full of things that are not good for us. When we see these things, our light then increases. It's like people seem to be drawn to new things, even though they're not progressive, even though they're retrogressive. It's something new. But this newness, if it goes against the balance of life, if it goes against the origins of life, then it is retrogressive, even though it's new. So I want you to think about this. I don't have time to get into examples, but not everything that is new and exciting and stimulating is progressive or going to help you recognize the purpose of life. It will, in fact, send you back in time to the Lemurian root race. Oh, there's so much I'd like to say and I can't, but these are like seed thoughts. So like ask yourself, okay, what was going on during the Lemurian times that may be manifesting today as a new idea? Think about it. As a person's light increases, he or she will find such ugly things that person will be startled. I remember, this is a story I've told a couple of times, but it's great. It's good to remember. It's so exemplary. I remember many years ago a spiritual teacher who was almost blind. Each time I would visit his house, it was so dirty, but he didn't seem to mind. I would do his dishes for him and clean his kitchen. Believe it. And he would be so grateful. But he never saw the piles of dust that had accumulated for such a long time. And the mildew, oh my gosh, in Florida, you know, mildew is a real problem. And that's where it was taking place, was in Florida. So the mildew, too, that was in his room was building. And his health became dangerous, all the mold. If you've read anything about mold, you know how dangerous it is to your health. If I would visit him in the late afternoon or early evening and turned on the light would reflect on the dust and mildew and seemed to act like a focused lens. I could not pretend the years of accumulation of dirt was not there. It was much the same way when our inner light increases. It places a focus on the areas that need the most immediate cleaning. We are blind-like to the accumulation of ancient and present dirt that is within our nature. But as our light increases, it cannot be missed. As your light increases, you discover that there are actually some pretty obnoxious things in your nature, more than you ever thought was possible. Your present life reflects what you were in your past. I'm going to repeat that. Your present life reflects what you were in your past. If you want to know about your past, look at your present life, your present body, emotional body, mental body. You will see where you need to take a shower to bring greater things into your nature. Okay, so someone hurt you. They may have hurt, people are going to hurt you millions of times. It's just the way it is. It's like yesterday, I got a hurtful message from someone I really cared about, and it bothered me up until about an hour ago. Stop giving that person so much power. What can I learn from what was said that hurt me? And it was like a born-again experience. Wow, look at that. I learned so much from that experience. So, we're not going to sit and worry about the hurt that people give to us. Do something to clean out those hurts that you're harboring. Don't carry them forward. Don't honor the person by carrying the hurt they gave you forward. Here's a story. Except when he was very much into the holy hum of things, so nothing could knock him off course, the Dalai Lama disliked meeting with foreigners. They obviously thought that he regarded himself as a holy man, and they insisted on treating him as such. After a visit with Europeans, the inner monologue, which very good Buddhists hope to be rid of once and for all, would start up again, generated by the nagging question, why do I always look for postures with these people? Says the Dalai Lama. He said, because I just start being myself, they start treating me with some kind of phony reverence. When I start being real, they start being phony. So I try to get phony to make them real. It's a lost cause. Why do I bother? They don't think I'm holy any more than I do. In fact, they probably think they're much holier than I am, but that if they reveal this, they'll be insulting the Tibetan custom. So, to hide their self-esteem, they pretend to think me holier than they, confident that I'll go along with the game. Since I undoubtedly have this opinion of myself, could I, since no holy man can ever consciously think of himself as such? Ah me, it is hard to be myself with foreigners. I must avoid them. So back to the verse. The verse said, it is difficult to speak to those who have not matured in heart, or those who have succeeded in extinguishing the flame of their heart. It is difficult to talk with them. You cannot talk with them. You cannot teach these things to people with dead hearts. And this is what I learned with the statement that was given to me yesterday. You cannot teach these things with people who have dead hearts. They have extinguished the flame in their heart. Their heart dies when you think heartless thoughts, speak heartless words, when you behave heartlessly. If you are heartless in your activities, your heart dies. If you are sending arrows of hatred day and night to someone, your heart dies. When your heart dies, you have no way to understand the teaching. It becomes impossible. One of the treasures of the heart is psychic energy, that primary energy I mentioned. It is the power in our heart. This psychic energy is the power in our heart that understands and assimilates. Psychic energy assimilates the teaching. Even the teaching that is not verbal or written, for the teaching is in the air. It's like, here's a simple example. Yesterday I posted a beautiful, beautiful piece of music, two pieces actually, one by Rachmaninoff and another by Tchaikovsky. And the symphony orchestra was performing these two symphonies. And, you know, because I'm classically trained musician, and so my passion is classical music. Because why? And I said, because it heals the sorrow in a person's heart. This means that the classical music, at least that I believe in, carries psychic energy in it. And that psychic energy is an energy that will clean and purify the hurt that keeps trying to damage your psyche. So music, right music, it doesn't have to be classical music. It just happens to be, works well for me. But it can be a music that is pure and beautiful that carries psychic energy with it. Listen to that music and it will clean and purify and heal your heart. When the fires of the heart are not dead, you cannot be enemies with each other. You cannot have remorse or plan revenge against the other, because the fires of the heart will burn all of these elements immediately. For example, if your teacher touches something in you that is very touchy, maybe a vanity, you get mad. You will still go to your teacher and hug him and say, "I love you." Why? Because the fire in your heart will believe the teacher. If your heart is dead, you're going to hate the teacher or run from him or even slander him. Some people have so much devotion in their heart that when they meet a spiritual person, they will dedicate their lives to helping humanity. We have a vision when we are touched by their purity, and we want to dedicate our lives to the community and to Christ and to the Mother of the world. It is so beautiful. We are not always to assimilate such pure beauty, but in time and with preparation, we can assimilate the thread of these great holy ones, the great messengers of hierarchy. But it needs time and patience. The verse said, "There are very few who strive to become citizens of the universe." Most of the people, 80% of them, are stuck in their body. Another high percentage is stuck in their family. Another large percent is stuck in their nation, in their country. But very few people think about being a member of the universe, a citizen of the universe. How do citizens of the universe act? In all inclusive ways. In peace, in compassion and love, and in breaking through their obstacles and touching the core in them in which the universe exists. Spiritual improvement requires that we dedicate our life in such a way that we eventually become a fully bloomed flower or lotus. I think I'm going to... Okay, let me end with this. Here's a question. What distinguishes the flame of the heart? And here's the answer. It is love, compassion, enthusiasm, trustworthiness, and friendship. Can you tell me that you have a friendship that has lasted more than 10 years? Then you are lucky. Friendship, the heart burns the little things, and you still have a friend. You are still friends. There is nothing more valuable than a friend who sticks by you no matter what. How many people have told you they loved you and then disappeared? So, love, compassion, enthusiasm, trustworthiness, friendship. That's love. That's a beautiful heart. Spiritual development and improvement.